Then we have Paul Cudahy from General Electric.
Could I borrow that microphone in case I have time to show a little video? Do the holding it up trick. Thanks.
It's on right now.
No, I get to be the technology guinea pig now, right? Oh, look at that. We can do it. Well, I'd like to say thanks a lot for inviting me here. I was really, I became very excited yesterday as I was sitting here listening to you, and last night after dinner and a few glasses of wine, I decided that the talk I had really wasn't going to work, because for me to tell you anything technical is not, I don't think, where I add the most value at this point. I think what I can do is try and highlight GE's perspective, which I hope represents an industrial perspective, and maximize telling you things that you don't want to hear. My wife's a psychologist, and the psychology research says you won't like me anymore after I do that, but it will be helpful anyway. I like absurdity, and I think that an industrial person often looks absurd to an academic person, and I assure you the feeling is mutual. I come from a research lab, and some of the Kent isn't here. He's no fun to. It's no fun to. Oh, here you are. It's good, because I don't like making fun of people who aren't here. It's no fun. One of the reasons that Kent gave yesterday for this technology not moving, not being implemented, was that the research labs, many have had dried up and died. We haven't dried up and died. We have a very big research facility at General Electric, and we're actually expanding it. We have already opened in Bangalore and in Shanghai, and we're opening one in Munich. You can see some stats up there, but basically when something looks like it's a viable product, Oliver brought up all the right questions this morning. I think that we're very willing to put in the money and effort to get it to be a product. And I think that some of the what I see as holding us back are a little bit different, and I'll try and get to them as we get through here. But let me point out some of the things that will make me look absurd to you. First of all, coming from an industrial lab, I'm basically very free to talk about what I've already done. But it's not easy for me to talk about all the great ideas I have or what I'm working on right now. It's just a cultural difference. It's the way that an industrial lab works versus a university. You don't go telling all your competitors what you're going to do next. Luckily, in this crowd, you know so much about this field that I've decided to drop a lot of very subtle hints that other people wouldn't get, but you will all get. So once in a while, I'll say, hint, listen, it's something. I'm a project leader in a technical lab. I'm not one of the business people, so I wouldn't be qualified to give you business plans, even if I could. I think you can figure some things out from what I'm going to show you. So let me start talking about just a little bit, and there's some big hints on this page. Okay, so GE has a bunch of businesses, more familiar maybe to the Americans than to the Europeans, how many different things that we do. But let me point out a few that are most interesting. We have the large medical systems business. And you'll notice in my talk that medical systems is not really involved in what I'm doing. There's a hint there. There have been some pretty big, painful, high visibility telemedicine disasters trying to do telemedicine before it was ready, that has put GE management, and I think a lot of management in the big corporations, on the defensive, saying, I've seen this, I've been killed on that before. So, hint. GE makes most of its money on money, actually. About half of our business is financial services. One of them is long-term care insurance, which I'm not sure how much sense that makes in the European context, but in the United States, insurance for paying your health care when you get old if you have to go to a nursing home. Those people are starting to be interested and thinking about, if you can save me money, you can prove you can save me money, maybe you've got something that we want. But the most relevant, believe it or not, is industrial systems, because last year they bought Interlogix, which is a big security company. I'll show you some of the things that they made. Let me see. I'm over-reliant on my notes since I wrote this at 1 o'clock in the morning. Let me, as I get through this, let me just make sure that what I think you want to hear from me, and we'll review the list at the end. So besides listening for hints, you have to listen to see whether I answer these questions. Because I think what you want to know from me is actually what are we doing. I'll try and give that to you. Another thing you're going to want to know is, why aren't we doing something better than that? Because we're smart people. We should be able to do some of this hard stuff. I've already started to give you some of the answers. Why would I come here? Maybe you would want to know that. I'm very interested in collaborating with universities. I'll try and give you a little bit about that if I have time. And I'm actually very, one question I'm going to answer right now is what am I really in this for myself? Because that way maybe you'll know what to say to me when you see me drinking tea. I was given the opportunity to run a team to look at some smart home-ish things, and I'll have money to do that for the rest of the year. But I don't know what I'm doing next year, and what I would really like to do is have a long-term project and have our research lab that I showed you on the last page be known as one of the places, one of the premier research labs in the world from an industrial perspective where this kind of research takes place. In order for me to do that, I need to work on longer term things, and the way for me to work on longer term things is to collaborate with universities, typically and with the government agencies which are interested in funding the longer term stuff, which I would quite honestly get killed if I suggested to my management that they pay for. I think there's a lot of things that need to be tested before we can show that this is viable technology, and that the government agencies that can help us do some of the larger long-term kind of longitudinal experiments to show that, hey, you really can tell some health parameters from this kind of thing, is probably the only way it's going to happen. And I think they're already helping the industries do that, and I think that can continue. Another big hint, because this is what my group has typically done. I've spent the last 15 years working on remote monitoring and diagnostics of equipment. So from a techie point of view, I call it my geek statement when people come in and talk to me, that somebody came to me and said, how would you like to do remote monitoring and diagnostics of people? And a bunch of us, I just lit up and said, well, hey, there's the ultimate problem. We've been trying to do, we've been doing airplanes and things like that, and trains, and they're fun, but they do the same thing every day. It seemed really hard, but compared to people, I guess it was really easy. So this is going to be a great problem. When I talk about the system, what we're actually doing, you won't notice a whole bunch of that. There's probably a hint in there somewhere. Let me tell you a little bit about what is now GE Interlogix. And those things at the bottom is not my words. Those were their words. They had something that they thought were called a smart home. But my only real point on here is they make a lot of neat gadgets, including the security sensors, which I had in my pocket all week, and I don't think I have anymore. Oh, this, I have one, because it's small. I'm not a hardware guy, and I just think it's really cool that you can put a magnetometer or a battery and a radio transmitter in something this small so that you can paste sensors around a house. I mean, you've probably all seen these because you're all working on this stuff, but I still think it's cool because I'm not a hardware guy. But actually, this is a shameless plug as you're building your smart homes. GE makes tons of infrastructure things. I'm not going to read them all to you. The most, what we found the most, I guess the best starting point for this kind of work was the security equipment. Because, let me build you a story, and you're going to have to finish it yourself, but I think it's going to be a pretty obvious story. Here's some of the key technologies that I think we already have. In the middle, front and center, is a security system, completely wireless, so it's very easy to install. In fact, there's even a completely wireless version that doesn't even have a phone line on it. It has cell modems in it. Not legal regulatory issues prevent you from using that as a security system, but you can use it for a backup security system, and you can use it for a home monitoring system because the cell networks are not reliable enough. But you can picture a system that is very easy to bring into a home, install with double-sided tape, the sensors wherever you want, and a box that doesn't have any wires except for the power cord. Now we're getting to something that actually would be affordable and actually practical that you could actually roll out. So it's equipment that was made for the security industry. Another piece of equipment that we happen to make, you see over on the left, is the panic button. Now the panic button is not probably terribly exciting to this crowd, but let me tell you what some of the latest features on the panic button box are, and you might get some ideas of where it's going. The panic buttons now can be, the box can be programmed with medication reminders. The box can be connected to a wireless motion sensor or a variety of sensors, and alarm if activity isn't seen for a certain amount of time. The box can also be hooked to your smoke detectors, your CO detectors, water in the basement detectors, frozen pipe detectors. I'm not sure if the thermostat is in it now in the latest version or whether it's in the next one. But you can kind of see the panic button evolving somewhat into something that's more comprehensive checking of your environment. The last thing over on the right here is a collaboration. It's an example of basically a working system on the internet that connects to all your sensors and your wireless security system and tells you. My favorite use of this is the vice president who actually who runs this division has one of these on his liquor cabinet. And when he goes out with his wife and he wants to know whether the babysitter went in the liquor cabinet, not a problem. He has sensors all over the place, but you could kind of picture where this is going without me divulging business plans. I mean, you can kind of see what the natural evolution is here. I showed you all sorts of equipment that Interlogix makes, and I told you on the slides before that that GE is very heavily into remote monitoring and diagnostics. GE is famous for having a service-oriented business model, and this company that we bought makes stuff. So how do we make that stuff into a service business? The easiest way is to find a new market that isn't being served so that you don't have all the channel problems and all that. We look at the demographics the same way you do and come up with business models that I can't divulge. I like to show you what I'm doing by showing you, please forgive me, I never thought I would ask a European to watch American television. I want to show you 2 minutes of American television. I'm sorry, but it's very interesting to see what other people think of what we're doing, so I'm going to show you what we're doing through someone else's eyes. This is supposed to come up that way, and it might even come up in color. Yes, it will. So in 7 seconds, we'll be here. Oh, I'm sorry, but you don't need this part anyway. Liz is not that. You can't hear this at all, can you?
A new way of using things that have been around for decades.
You want them?
Watching over an aging parent from far away is very difficult. For example, the daughter in California trying to care for her mom in the capital region.
She pays her mother's across the street neighbor $5 a day to look over and make sure that her mom's Venetian blinds are open in the morning.
So Albany Med's Alzheimer's Research Center and Northeast Health are working with GE Global Research to develop a new system using sensors like these, typically protecting homes from burglaries. But this website uses those sensors a new way, monitoring a relative who may have health or age issues. They can be put on shelves to detect room motion, others on various doors and drawers. And when the caregiver logs on, they get a lot of info.
This says that they've opened either the refrigerator or their silverware drawer or their favorite cupboard this morning.
This says the relative slept from around 11:30 to 5 a.m. with one exception.
They were up for a couple minutes in the middle of the night once.
And you can set up parameters for being alerted. No indication of waking up between 6 and 9 a.m. and you get a call. It's all aimed at eliminating anxiety.
And so that their phone calls and their conversations with their parents don't have to be the Spanish Inquisition every time. That stuff is out of the way. They can actually have the kind of conversation you'd want to have with someone.
Northeast Health helps families deal with issues of elderly or ill parents, which are tough issues these days.
Because families are living apart, further apart than maybe they ever did before, this particular product allows them to do that at a distance but still maintain a high level of comfort.
It also helps family members who travel. You can check in on the internet whether you're in Schenectady or Singapore.
The program has now reached the point of significant field testing, and for that, the organizations are looking for...
He's just going to go on and ask for... We're kind of on time here, but he's just going to go on and talk about how we're looking for 20 people to test out the system. We have a number of these in homes. We have a number of test systems. We also have three of them that are in real homes. We didn't pitch it to them that way, but they see that. We heard yesterday, I think it was Lutz, who said, you know, the cell phone, people bought it for security. You know, maybe that's where acceptance of this kind of technology starts, because that's what everyone sees, no matter what I show them. That's what I'm seeing, at least. So basically, by your standards, an extraordinarily simple technical system. Security sensors put around a house right now, a web interface. I think from a technical point of view, the only thing that's very different about this is that it's very affordable, it's very easy to install. I've installed a couple of them. I run around the house for about 2 hours, and that usually includes signing a consent form and making the person understand and slap some sensors up and walk away. It's only a couple hundred dollars worth of equipment, which is still too expensive. One of my absurd points of view, I think, from your will be what the price point for this kind of stuff really is. In the U.S., we have to go to a consumer market, because where else are you going to go? I don't think the medical and regulatory issues aren't there yet. I mean, everyone sees this very simple scenario. They say, okay, we'll send all sorts of data to a doctor, and the doctor will be able to watch over you. And the doctor says, okay, so I got all this data now, and I'm going to be liable if something happens for you, and I didn't see it. I don't want that data. And who's going to pay me to look at the data? No one's going to pay me to look at the data. So you're asking me to have something that I'm going to get sued over, and I'm not going to get paid for looking at it. Thank you very much. There needs to be a route to show that this is effective and to build acceptance, because then you take the same thing that the physician doesn't want and you go to a business person and they say, who's going to pay for it? And everyone says, I don't know. These are real issues. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that there's answers to those issues, but I also wouldn't be here if I knew what the answers were. I'd be out making a ton of money. I don't know what those answers are. They already showed you this stuff. I don't want to bore you with the details. Let me just tell you one or two things about this study. Our Northeast Health folks have made focus groups for us. We've gone and talked to lots of caregivers, typically of dementia patients, because our friends at Albany Medical Center are really an Alzheimer's research center, and they said, we have family upon family that's in crisis because they have an elderly parent with early dementia who won't leave their house, and we can't force them out, and they'll use this stuff. Let's test it out. So we've kind of started with dementia just because of who we know. But basically, we've gone out and talked to 20, 30 caregivers and asked them, you know, what do you worry about? What do you worry about? Well, you know, I worry about them walking out in the middle of the night on their own. I worry about them falling. I worry about... I think that this is like asking somebody what kind of airplane seat you want in the 1920s. They don't really know what they want, but they know that they have somebody that they need to watch over and that there must be something to do that we could do with all this technology that we have so that I could watch them. So we're going to test what we have, which is very simple. Now, what would I personally very importantly, the system, the residents don't do anything. They don't want video or audio at all, so we didn't use it. There's no buttons, nothing. Once or twice the system has talked by accident because it has a voice module in it. They thought they had dementia. They were somebody who didn't have dementia. No, it's not talking. Yeah, it talks. Sorry about that. Basically, we give them the system. We give them the password to the website. They share it with whoever they want. If they don't like it, they call us up. We'll change the password for them, and nobody can see what they're doing. These are some of the things that I think that we want to do. I think the real value in this data is longitudinal. I'd like to prove it. I think that what we have is a system that's cost-effective, but by your standards, the data is terrible. What can a PIR tell you? It can tell you what room somebody's in. You don't even know who it is. You don't know what they're doing. Nonetheless, I've had the opportunity to look at a lot of this data over months and months of some person, and you can actually tell a lot. But the question is, how much can you tell, and what can you do with it that's very useful, and what other little things do we need that would make it 10 or 15 or 20 times more useful, and then could we sell it to the medical community once we prove that you could do something, or do we sell it to somebody else? I don't know. I think very cost-effectively being able to get better than the PIR, the motion sensor, about who's in the room, not just tell me something, so that if there's two people, I could actually track their activity separately or something like that. I know there's answers, but a lot of them are very expensive and hard to install. When I say cost-effective, I mean something you can walk into a house, slap something on, and boom, and walk out. I mean, it has to be almost ridiculously easy to use. I think that effective medication compliance is a very big concern, and I've seen lots of gadgets. I don't think that anyone really knows how to do that. I think that it's a great area. Another area that I think is great is kitchen accident prevention. We're really great at kitchen accident detection. Hey, if your smoke alarm goes off, we'll be there in 3 minutes. It's a little bit late at that point. What can you do to actually prevent accidents? There's a lot of good ideas that I've seen, even here, bringing those to fruition. Let me close up. As I said, I'm not as free as you are to talk about what I want to do and where we're going, but I think that it's pretty obvious because it's the top thing on the chart there. That makes it obvious. But the details behind it, I have a lot of data now, and I hope very soon to have a lot of data to have, you know, 10 or 15 people for 6 months, you know, some houses, and actually to see what else I could do with that. I don't think that industry can support the kind of research that needs to be done to look through that data and figure out what other sensors we need and what it's going to be, what it's going to mean to people. In my quest to have a more long-term project, collaboration is very important to me. And one really big difference between the industrial perspective and the university perspective is that when I say collaboration to a university, they say, great, I'm going to get a lot of money. And when I say collaboration to someone at GE, they say, great, I'm going to get a lot of money. You can laugh now. Okay. The point is, the kind of collaboration that we look for is the kind of collaboration where we really take the university's ability to do long-term, more pure research, just chewing through data, just trying to figure out what you can do, trying out some new sensors, and our ability to have practical equipment to roll things out, to actually, we have a lot of monitoring and diagnostics experience and models, and you know, we can build Markov models, we can do adaptive clustering, we can do all that stuff too, and we want to keep doing it, but to marry those two and go to an agency or one of the government agencies and say, you know, we know that you see this problem, and you know, we can help solve this problem if you can fund us to get this stuff to the point where our business leaders will pick it up. That's worked successfully in the past, and that's the kind of thing that I'm very interested in doing. And I think the thing that, you know, the way to go at it is to take this very practical but doable, not that high quality, but data that I can actually get. I can go into somebody's house and get 6 months worth of data. I can go into 20 people's house and get 6 months of data. It's not great data, but it's real data. It's a living laboratory. It's their house. It's not even a living laboratory. It's actually their house. And people will actually give me data. I find it mind-blowing, but they do. And I think that there's a lot of collaboration ideas to take that data and say, well, what can we do to solve all these other policy and all these, you know, social and all these other issues that are coming up in our society? So I think there's a lot of exciting opportunity here, and I think there's even more exciting opportunity since I've been able to sit here for 2 days. And thank you very much for inviting me, and I can't wait to be back to the next meeting.